the title of this one is The Recruiting Station, The Church. Recruiting Station, The Church. And those of you who have served in the military might kind of chuckle at that comparison, as you get to church at 10 o'clock, you don't have to get up at 5, and you get done with service about 8:30-ish. You're not still running through calisthenics at 9:30, getting ready for bed at 10 or whatever your schedule is. It might seem a little incongruent there, I guess. But you'll see here as we go through the lesson that indeed there's a recruitment that God wants to work in our lives. Amen. And bring us into alignment with His purpose, with His plan. Praise God. You may be seated. Again, we can imagine with those who have experienced boot camp and the military, the comforts that you gave up, the loved ones that you said goodbye to, the home that you were familiar with, the careers that you may have dreamed about. You left all that behind, and you went and served. And we thank you for that. Amen. Now, Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. And he that warreth is not going to entangle himself with the affairs of this life. So he uses terminology that would fit a soldier or a sailor, or someone serving in the armed forces, fighting and warring and armor and so on. A convert of Christ is admonished by Paul in 2 Timothy 2 and 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And Paul would make that observation with probably an eye on the Roman garrison that was in every major city and probably patrolling the highways that he traveled on to spread the gospel, on the ships, and then when he was incarcerated, when he was in jail, he had the Roman centurion accompanying him everywhere he went. And so he knows the comparison here of being accurate. In verse 4 of that passage, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You've said goodbye to all of that, and you're in the barracks, and you're in the mess hall, and you're out in the field, and in the classes, and your time is not your own. You're totally focused on what the sergeant has in store for you. And then Paul goes on to say, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Praise God. And you're pleasing the Lord. That's the important thing. Called to orders, called to arms, called to alms, and doing the work of God. And surrendering to the Lord, very much a prerequisite, but never surrendering to the enemy. Amen. And thank God the church is triumphant. Has been for over 2,000 years, and will continue to be. Because he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Praise God. So it's a powerful church. It restricts the devil's power. It pulls down strongholds. It obtains promises. And the church is not sidelined, but turning the world upside down. Praise God. Or like we said on Sunday morning, downside up. And how it needs to be the work of the church. Warning against wickedness. Obviously, separating yourself from that wickedness and warning that it's it's wrong, it's harmful, it's destructive, it's negative. And all of those warnings are important. The Bible says, evil men shall wax worse and worse. Wax is an old term. We still use it when we talk about the moon waxing and waning, increasing, decreasing. Evil is going to increase. It's going to become worse and worse. And evil men and seducers, the Bible says, are continuing their work, deceiving and being deceived. They're not exempt from the deceit that they're trying to perpetrate on the population, and they themselves being deceived as well. And that's why the scripture says, be not deceived. Yeah. Praise God. A tremendous command that the Lord gives to us. And the remedy for all of this wickedness is still the Word of God. It still brings us in the right way. And we defeat deceit by a love of the truth. And Timothy, Paul said, knew the scriptures from the time that he was a child. And he had the example of his mother and his grandmother. And that helped so that he was able to step out and preach the gospel and live the gospel and become a powerful pastor and be able to continue the work of the those original apostles. But he had to have a godly example to follow. Had to have it. And so likewise, that need is imperative today to teach the word. Moses instructed the home and parents and said, teach them diligently, talking about the word of the Lord. Teach them diligently unto thy children. Praise God. And thank God for our Sunday school teachers. Praise God. A good job of teaching week after week. And the preparation of the room, preparation of the lesson, not in vain. All of the other aspects of that teaching. But it shouldn't be left just to the teacher on less than an hour a week. The models, the examples have got to be shown in the home over and over. Be a doer of the word as well as a hearer. Praise God. And James warns there, you deceive yourself if you don't do that. Be a doer of the word as well as a hearer. Good growth requires discipline. If you're going to be a disciple, you've got to have discipline in your life. And that's why Jesus said, when he made the invitation, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. He didn't say you're completely free and you're completely released from any responsibility, any connection, any relationship. No, he said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Amen. And he invited us, take up your cross and follow me. Praise God. And so we exercise that discipline and do the work of the Lord. We receive the instruction. You might want to look at James 1:21 before I read from the Living Bible version. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. You know, lay aside, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That's kind of old language. Here's how the Living Bible renders it. So get rid of all that is wrong in your life, both inside and outside. That's pretty straightforward. Yeah. Just get rid of it. Sure. Amen. And humbly be glad for the wonderful message we have received, for it is able to save our souls as it takes hold of our hearts. I like that straightforwardness. Praise God. The King James says, lay apart and then receive. And the trouble with some people is they don't lay apart, but they still want to receive. And they're already full, they're already occupied, they're already busy, and they're trying to cram the things of God in on top of this superfluity of naughtiness. And and try to make it work that way. It doesn't. Get rid of one, gain the other. And that's how the Lord will occupy in your lives and direct you in his plan. Thank God the church is a house of prayer. It's a place of worship. It's a place we come together for fellowship, and we're able to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Some of the most important moments of your life are in the church. Babies are dedicated, and they don't remember it. We have pictures to verify it and prove to them you were dedicated. But in reality, it's the parents who are dedicated. It's the church that is dedicated to raise that baby in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Marriage vows are said in the church. Children educated in the scriptures. Miracles of salvation and healing and deliverance. Praise God. All the powerful things that God can do often happen in the church. They don't have to be in the church, but very often that's where we see it taking place. Praise God, because there's a faith that is compounded when we come together in Jesus' name and the powerful things of God are revealed. And then the final goodbyes of a funeral. Lots of important moments, both spiritual and social, in the fellowship take place in the church. But like President Kennedy said, he quoted somebody else actually, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. That's how we need to look at the church as well. We receive a lot. We are blessed in abundance. But what can I do? How can I contribute? And how can I be productive? The church needs men and women today of commitment. Workers and witnesses needed. Amen. And thank God you fill that category very well. But none of us can sit back and say, I've done my best. I've done the best I could do. That's it. There's always more that we can reach for. Always more that we can see the Lord accomplish in us and through us. God wants willing hearts and hands to do the work that he has called us to do, reaching the lost. Amen. Praise God. And I'm thankful that he'll work through us. He'll work in us. Praise God. Although we're not essential. Remember the Lord saying, if these don't praise, if these don't worship, what's going to cry out? The stones, the rocks. We're not that essential. The Lord is going to have someone praise him. And thank God you and I can be the ones who fill that category as well because of salvation. But the message is the church is going to go on with or without you. That's the truth. If I get my feelings hurt and I get mad and I refuse to do this and do that and eventually I lose out, I've really lost out. Because it's just me. And the church is going on. Amen. But I'm not that stupid. Praise God. You can't drive me off with a whip. Praise God. Going to stick with it. Praise the Lord. Because the work of the Lord is bigger than any of us. And thank God we're laborers together with him. We're laborers together. And that's an awesome team. But with him makes it victorious. Makes it undefeated. Praise God. So I'm not going to let offenses, real or imagined. Most of them can be imagined. I'm not going to let those get in the way. Amen. Withdrawing and withholding and so on. Not going to hurt the church. It's going to hurt me. It'll hurt you. It'll hurt your family. It'll hurt your friends. So that's more the devil's plan than God's plan. Amen. God doesn't waste anything. How many baskets did he gather up? Amen. 12. Don't waste it. We want to make sure we Got it all. God won't throw a single soul away. You matter. But he's not going to stop you from going away. Amen. The lukewarm church of Laodicea gives us quite a picture of what the Lord is not pleased with. A spiritual church is necessary. The power of the Spirit operating in that church. The church is spiritual because the members are spiritual. Because the people are spiritual who attend. But the problem with Laodicea was they were lukewarm. Now lukewarm is comfortable. Lukewarm is convenient. The world is at peace with a lukewarm church. No waves, no ripples, no rock in the boat. Everybody's good. Everybody's okay. You fit in, they fit in, and so on. Well, that's not pleasing to the Lord. To give only as little as you can and not as much as you can, that's the description of a lukewarm church. To go to church as seldom as you can, to prefer clever preachers with much of man's wisdom but little doctrine and teaching, that's a lukewarm church. Worldly minded and minding things of the world. No one expected to do much, to give much, or to pray much. That's a lukewarm church. And it's not pleasing to the Lord. Because you are lukewarm, he said, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And the other translations kind of awful word picture, vomit or spit out. God's nauseated. He's sickened at a church that he has done so much for, that he gave his blood for, that he poured out his spirit on, that he allowed to be baptized in his name. And they become just comfortable and convenient. So what? Doesn't matter. That sickens God. Amen. And Laodicea was spiritually poor. Proud. Oh, they were very proud. We're rich. We're increased with goods. We have need of nothing. Very proud of their condition. But no real beauty of holiness. No power of godliness. No prayer and fasting. Destitute in their communication with Christ. And God is not pleased. But the Lord said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Straight sermons, sharp words, smitten conscience. Sometimes those are necessary. And the Lord said, buy of me gold tried in the fire, white raiment, eye salve to anoint your eyes. What's he talking about? He's talking about faith that is pure, gold tried in the fire. White raiment is the righteousness of saints and anointing, so that you have spiritual insight and spiritual foresight to be able to tell what's coming and what you need to do. A divine discontent, not a lukewarmness, but a divine discontent that wants more of his presence, wants the Lord in the church to make it holy and happy, to make it mighty and triumphant. Praise God. That's what he died for. That's what he's coming back for. Praise God. Amen. And he'll use the church to show the world the true power of the gospel. Amen. And the power of his grace and his truth. Praise God. Now, there's lots of religious groups in the world. Hundreds of them. And even fake ones who are trying to take advantage of the tax break. Many older denominations, names that have been around for a couple of centuries, all have older members No young people. No teens, no young couples, no young families. All older folks in those older denominations. The youth are dropping out because there's no power. They don't have things that are going to connect. That's why it's so awesome when Brother Lamas reported that five received the Holy Ghost in Kiana, Norvik, every one of them being teens. Every one of them being young people. Praise God. What an amazing thing, because God has something in store for those young people. Amen. Amen. So, people need to ask themselves when they're considering church attendance, would I know the Lord and would I grow in the Spirit? That's, you know, that's got to be the bottom line. So, we honor the Bible as the Word of God. Scripture is God inspired, God furnished. 2 Timothy 3:16, the benefits that are there, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This is because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. It's God, He is the one who has given it. For the purpose of those things, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, also that the man of God may be perfect, in verse 17, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. See how effective the Word of God is and how powerful it can be? You can be inspired. You can be made profitable from the Word of the Lord. Amen. Peter's perspective, how he wrote about the Word of God in his first letter, 1:23, the Word of God, it lives and abides forever. In verse 25 of that first chapter, the word of the Lord endureth forever. He had a forever mentality about the word of God. And then 2 Peter, his second letter, chapter 1, verse 21, prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. It wasn't made up by man, wasn't manufactured, wasn't prefabricated. No, it came by the Lord. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that's how he could identify the word of the Lord is still coming forth. Praise God. And thank the Lord that that's how God desires his word to be viewed. John 8:31, the Lord said to those who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples? Indeed. Praise God. Continue in the Word. Show the Word being alive. Praise God. So, the same message of salvation as the first church is very important to identify the right church. Praise God. The promise. The Lord told him, wait for the promise. In Acts chapter 1, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's why we call it the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because that's what Jesus said it is. Amen. And then Peter identified this is that. And in verse 33 of chapter 2, he said, you've received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. And when people asked what to do, he was very quick with his answer and included, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. So the pattern is established in the Word of God. From Acts chapter 2 all the way through Acts 19, the pattern is repeated again and again. Praise God. And they experienced the new birth, born of the water and of the Spirit, over and over. That same pattern was followed. And we follow that pattern. We believe it's essential to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and receiving the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And thank the Lord, he is still fulfilling that promise, still doing a work of God, still pouring out his Spirit. Praise God. Amen. The right church will exalt Jesus as the one true God. Amen. It's revelation that we receive from him. Father in creation, Son in redemption, Holy Ghost in regeneration. Amen. The Lord reveals himself by that revelation. And there's only one. The Jews were so careful to follow that. Shema Israel, Adonai Elohim, Adonai Echad. They knew there's just one, and he is God. Praise the Lord. And that word became flesh and dwelt among us. And John said, we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise God. And we hold to that message. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And these phrases help us to identify who he's talking about. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Praise God. That's Jesus. Amen. He is God manifest in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:19. God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Praise God. There's just one. And his name is above every name. Glory to God. And Peter proclaimed it so profoundly and so powerfully to the Sanhedrin, who had the power to crucify him, just like they had the Lord. But he fearlessly stands there and says, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Praise God. And the power of that name was on display right there. That lame man standing there, I mean, he could hardly stand there. He was probably jumping and leaping and still carrying on. And in wonder, looking at his legs that had operated for the first time in over 40 years of his life. And they're looking at it too. And they can't deny it. Praise God. The power of that name. Paul said every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. That's why Peter said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Does it make a difference? We're talking just six, one, half dozen, the other? One, a compromise? I thought about that as I was looking at this lesson. And then John 8:24 came to mind. John 8:24. Jesus said, you shall die in your sins if you believe not that I am he. And in your Bible there, Brother Mike, is he italicized?
Yes.
Which means it was added by the translators. Jesus was simply saying, if you believe not that I am. Oh, where did he get that? The burning bush. The Lord declaring to Moses when he asked, who shall I say sent me? I am. Amen. And verse 58 of that same chapter, John 8, they took up stones to stone him because he said, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, he made it very clear. So it's not six, one, half dozen, the other. It matters. It matters what the right church preaches. It matters what the right church teaches. Amen. The question is Jesus in the Godhead, or is the Godhead in Jesus? That's not a superfluous question. We're not just playing with words here. Because Colossians 2 and 9 says, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Yeah. It counts. It makes a difference. So, we'll hurry on here. The right church is going to operate the gifts of the Spirit. One Spirit operating nine gifts in the church. Subcategories include knowledge, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits. Real important to understand it's not the discernment of spirits. You can have the gift of suspicion, but you're not going to have the gift of discernment. It's discerning of spirits. You study why that's different. The gifts of power, faith, healing, miracles. God shows his power. Praise God. The gifts of speaking, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Praise God. It's interesting, Brother Lamas, which of those three categories gets manifested the most? and almost a, you know, if it's used as a gauge of spirituality, it becomes a false gauge. And people can and actually try to control a church and a service by tongues and interpretations. Yep. No, it's operated by the Spirit. Not my will, your will. It's operated by the Spirit. And it ceases to be powerful if it's orchestrated. If there's collaboration. I heard of somebody finding a note in church that one person had written to another saying, I will give the tongues and you will give this interpretation. It's foolishness. Foolishness. But yet, there are some who think that tongues and interpretation is supposed to take precedence over everything else. The word of God, the order of the service, and so on. No, there are times, and you've seen it operate right here. There are times when there's just a holy hush. And we're waiting on the Lord. And somebody gives a message in tongues. Somebody gives a message in interpretation. Praise God. And it operates together, and the pastor is the judge. Yeah. The church is the body of Christ. We're to be an extension of his work. In fact, John 14 and 12, he said, greater works than these shall you do. Greater works? My goodness. How can it be greater than feeding 5,000? Well, when thousands receive the Holy Ghost, praise God, and we see the work of the Lord begin to unfold. We seek him with prayer and fasting and desire his presence and his blessing. Jude 3, verse 3, there's only one chapter in Jude, of course, and verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There are some people who have no problem being contentious. We're not talking about being contentious. We're talking about contending for the faith. Amen. Teach this faith to others. Let the Lord use you with gifts of the Spirit. And you're teaching the word of God. You're testifying the word of the Lord. And there's anointing in your life for outreach and for teaching. Praise God. That's what the Lord wants to do through us and continuing his blessing and his power. The Lord gave us communion in 1 Corinthians 10:16. It's the cup of communion of the blood, and the bread is the communion of the body of Christ. And chapter 11, verse 26, you drink this cup and you eat this bread to show the Lord's death until he comes. A look back and a look ahead as we keep the ordinances. That's what the true church will do. Jesus gave an example of washing feet, and we follow that example. It becomes a prayer time. It becomes powerful. Praise God. And we desire the presence of the Lord. The true church is going to hold to a message of holiness. And boy, things are changing in our world. That's not a popular message at all. But the grace of God that brought us salvation is also teaching us. And look at Titus 2 and 12 to see what it's teaching us. This is the grace of God teaching us now. It saved us, and now it's teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. Live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Yes. Amen. The NLT renders it, we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. Yes. Praise God. A life of holiness because of the beauty of holiness that's there. The power of godliness, Paul talked about. There are those who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. What is that power for? That power is to change you. Praise God. To clean up your life. To change your habits, change your appearance, change your action, change your words. Change you. That's why it's called a new birth. Born again. It's that dramatic. It's that dynamic. And the power of godliness makes a believer more godlike. And a lifestyle witness then is born. Because your lifestyle speaks volumes. Amen. Praise God. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12 and 14. And that has a dual application. Without holiness, without those changes in your life, you're going to forfeit heaven. That's really what it's saying. You're not going to step in there unless you walk in holiness. And like Brother Tree said, whatever holiness is, you better get it. Because you're not going to see the Lord without it. Now the second meaning there is, people are not going to see the Lord unless they see him in you. See, and then, so your appearance and your lifestyle are really important. Modesty being so important. Modesty is mocked in the world today with Hollywood and fashions and so on. Modesty means not showing skin, not being sensuous, not having form-fitting clothes. And I know our young ladies with the styles in the world today may be challenged a bit, but if you want it bad enough, you want to please the Lord bad enough, amen, he'll help. And no young ladies here, we'll have to get that message out. Thank you for doing today's Christian Girl and the message that you presented during that time. Keep it up. Praise God. A voice that needs to be heard. A work that needs to be accomplished. You don't have to paint or pierce or primp to look pretty. God's pleased with you when you walk in holiness. Amen. And the true Christian will know how to live as well as know how to die. Amen. A lot of living before you die. Live in Christ. Show holiness. That walk with God that's so important. And the power of the Lord that needs to come through in every aspect. Amen. Worshiping in spirit and in truth. Now, the Old Testament, you're reading through Leviticus. You're reading through the bread program. And oh my goodness, where am I? Numbers. I thought I was done with all of the sacrifices and do it this way and so on. Here we go. Numbers is repeating it. A set pattern, a set way. That's not necessarily the way the New Testament church operates. Amen. We rely upon the flow of the Spirit. And we recognize the power and the presence of God. And we seek diligently the mind of the Spirit. We praise and worship in one accord. We worship in spirit and in truth, because Jesus said that's how the Father seeks such to worship him in John 4:24. And verse 32 of that same chapter, we preach truth because that is what makes men free. Amen. And so we don't shy away from that. Praise God. We're teaching and admonishing. Okay, have I finished this? We'll try to finish it up here. Teaching and admonishing from Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Praise God. Take time to memorize. Take time to make it a part of you. Praise God. Sometimes it's all you can remember is one phrase. That's why you need a concordance on your device, on your phone. And you can find that scripture just by looking up a phrase. Amen. Real important to be able to do that while you're teaching. The word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Oh, that means no musical instruments. Oh, my goodness. You ever talk to somebody that has that interpretation of this? If that's what it means, if that's what it means, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, no musical instruments, because that's Old Testament. Nothing New Testament about that. Then why use your voice if it says singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord? Just let it be in your heart. Let it be in your mind. Zip those lips, because you're not supposed to. How foolish. How foolish. Let the devil desecrate what God brought into being. The sons of morning singing. Oh, that's Old Testament. Well, still God. He doesn't change. So frustrating to talk to people like that. No wonder Paul said, avoid foolish questions. And just, oh well. Disciples teach to make disciples. That's what teaching and admonishing one another. God is pleased with preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:21. He's pleased with preaching to save them that believe. That's what we'll keep on doing. That's what the true church does. Liberty to live and worship the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Praise God. Liberty to sing, liberty to clap your hands, liberty to march, to run, to jump, to dance. We're not talking about debauchery. We're not talking about, you know, showmanship and showing flesh and all of that stuff. No, we're just pleasing to the Lord. Praise God. Got to do something with your excitement. Praise God. And thank God we can do worship to the Lord. We manifest fruit of the Spirit. John 15:8. Herein is my Father glorified, Jesus said, that you bear much fruit. And look at the evidence that that's going to be of. So shall ye be my disciples. Amen. So love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And Paul said, against such there is no law. In other words, they're not bad things. They're not things that you've got to break, that you've got to get rid of, that they're going to be a problem. No, Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says there's no law against the fruit of the Spirit because of changed lives. Praise God. Now, let's go to Titus again, 2 and 14. Titus 2 and 14, here's the New Living Translation. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin. There's that liberty in the Holy Ghost. To cleanse us and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. Praise God. Amen. And Peter talks about it as well. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted. Keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. This is what God has called you to do. And he will grant you his blessing. Praise God. Now, in what we call the Great Commission, the Lord said, go. Mark 16 and 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28, 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words. That's the Amplified. Praise God. Matthew 5, he's talking about light. I've got to hurry now. Light. He said, you light a candle in the house, you don't put it under a bushel. A city that is set on a hill, you're not going to hide it. And the light of the world, you're the light of the world. And notice, it's the house, it's the city, it's the world that can be influenced by light. Praise God. John wrote it in Revelation, every nation, every kindred, every tongue and people are going to be there before the throne, worshiping the Lord. Be sure you're there. Amen. Bring somebody with you, because we are looking for the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. That's a sign of the true church. We're looking for him coming back. Praise God. Titus 2 and 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9, 28, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. 1 John 3 and 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise God. Expectations. Amen. Amen. That's a special characteristic of the early church. They were expecting him to come back because he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. The angels appeared when the men of Galilee, his disciples, stood looking for one last glimpse of him as the clouds received him out of their sight. They said, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner. Praise God. Oh, I'm excited about him coming. Amen. And at the end of Revelation, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. And I like the way the verse ends. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's stand tonight. Praise God. Amen. The true church, a recruiting station. Praise God. Amen. Called out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a recruitment. And then the ongoing training and designation, assignment, orders. Amen. To do the work of the Lord. How important. Praise God. Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad that you and I and share in this blessing in the glory of the Lord. Let's come and pray here for just a few minutes before we go. Praise God. I thank the Lord for the help and the blessing and the glory that he gives to us, that he provides for us, that he blesses us in. Thank the Lord.